week 9 here in the stairway, and we got jagged off. So the Jags came in and jagged us right off. It's Mr. Just Right. Joining me as always, my boy, Bad News, B-Rye. What's up, man?
What's up, Mikey? Happy Halloween to all our listeners out there. It was definitely a scary game. Lots of weird stuff going on, but we'll talk through it and see what our thoughts are heading into this Thursday night game coming up.
Yeah, we kind of have like a historical, I don't want to say rivalry, but sort of like a rivalry against the Jaguars. Seems like we always run into them in some big games. Over the course of our history, we kind of always seem to catch them when they're good. And I think we caught them again when they're good this year. They're certainly on the rise. I think they have the longest winning streak now in the NFL. But B-Rai, to me, I think this is just a microcosm of everything we've seen so far this season, right? I think we had a slow start on offense, defense making turnovers, and really just gaining no traction and not having any symbiosis between both phases of the game. What are your thoughts overall, B-Rai? Where did things go wrong? And why are we asking all the same questions again this week after all of our other losses this year?
Like you said, slow starts with the offense. Our recipe lately has been working, and we knew all along that it's been risky. You start off really slow in offense to the point where you're just leaning on your defense to make play after play after play. And the defense has continued to do so, but when you run into a game like this where you start to lose some key players, you start to lose your starting quarterback, you're playing against a better team, and I think it showed it. Their guys made more plays than us. They executed better. I think, unfortunately, some bad calls went our way more times than not. You know, we'll talk through that a little bit more too, but I think it just shows I would say above average team. I think some people would say we're an average team. I think we're still above average, but when you lose Minka, you lose your starting quarterback. It's just too much to overcome against a better team than what the Steelers are right now.
Man, that's an interesting statement. So you're saying we're average to above average. Our record says we're above average. We're 4-3. We're in a three-way tie for second place in the AFC North. Still, the Ravens are surging a little bit, but we have a win against the Browns. We have a win against the Ravens. So we're right there, but it's just really, really hard to take this team seriously with the offense just being as putrid as it is. We went an entire quarter again with no first downs. That's not the first time that's happened this year. We had, what, 7-9 yards in the first quarter? I mean, these are the kind of starts that just kill you. We talked about it last week. Slow starts. We need to get out of the gate quicker. It couldn't have gone any worse. Run, pass. Drop bomb to Deontay, right? Things just getting off on a bad note. And we're asking too much of our defense to keep us in these games. And they did. They created turnovers. They kept us in it. They made some key plays, some splash plays. But then you look at some of the stat lines here, and you really got to wonder, yes, the defense is making splash plays. TJ's all over the place. We're getting fumbles. We're getting interceptions. But are they even that good? You know, it seems like they themselves are fighting an uphill battle. And is that because the offense just does not give them enough time off the field? And we never really control the tempo of the game very much. And this was just another situation where we're constantly playing behind the sticks all game, getting into third downs, not executing, and not allowing our defense to get a breather. And the Jags only scored 20 points. They're one of the better teams in the league, I think, better teams in the AFC the last several weeks, if not the best, most consistent team the last month or so. They only put up 20 points, and that's something an offense should be able to overcome. You know, we scored 3 touchdowns last week, and we only got 1 this week. And for the Steelers this season, that's a recipe that spells disaster. So, B-Rye, why don't we just get right into this box score? It was a sloppy, sloppy day. The ponchos were out at Heinz Field. It was wet. It was wild. It was really coming down out there, raining cats and dogs for a while. And I really thought that might be a huge factor as the game went on. You know, we talked a little bit about that. The Jaguars, sunny weather team. Lawrence with his long, beautiful blonde hair. Was he willing to get muddy? Was he willing to get roughed up? And I think they are up to the challenge, although we were in it. We were in it, you know, until the last quarter and a half, until they really broke free there. So let's look at the box score, shall we? We've got 2 quarterbacks to talk about this week. Mr. Pickett, Kenny P, was 10 for 16. He had no touchdowns. Again, he had no interceptions. He had 73 yards passing, but really, I mean, just pedestrian at best from Kenny this game. It was not his best performance. The offense just seemed out of sync. Not a lot of big chunk plays. We left some out there on the field. We had some bad penalties again. Kenny goes down with an injury, gets slammed onto his shoulder. Mitch Trubisky comes in. It looks like he might have come back. At the end of the half he got injured, right? It looked like he came out of the half. He was throwing the ball on the sidelines, and it wasn't long after that they rolled him out after Trubisky came in. Trubisky came in. He was 15 for 27 for 138. He did have the touchdown to George, and he also had 2 absolutely miserable interceptions. Yeah. Thoughts on the quarterbacks in this one, B-Rye?
Well, so I felt hopeful, as pitiful as the offense has been at the beginning of the games. We saw that again, like you said, in the first half here. But you started to get that sense like, all right, this is the recipe that we've found ways to win. Pickett started, I felt like the offense was kind of heating up a little bit. And then, you know, he gets knocked out of the game. And you kind of wonder if he would be able to replicate the magic he's had in previous games where, you know, fourth quarter Kenny comes in clutch, finds a way to win, wills the team to a victory. But so that's Kenny. That's what he's capable of doing. Mitch, 7-year vet. At this point, we know who he is. He's mobile. He can, he has a little bit of skill. I'd say he has a pretty strong arm, but he just doesn't see the field at all. So when you go from Kenny, who can find ways to win, to Mitch, who can find ways to lose, in my opinion, I don't think we really had much of a shot. The one drive was really nice. He made a couple plays with his feet. But throwing those 2 just absolutely garbage interceptions, kind of holding the ball too long, taking some sacks, I felt like it was just too much to overcome against a good team like the Jaguars.
Well, that's a really eloquent way to put it. You know, nothing that Kenny Pickett has done so far in his career really, like I said, jumps off the screen, off the score sheet, but he just finds a way to win in the fourth quarter. That's kind of been his one defining trait, is kind of pulling his team up off the mat and giving them a shot at the end of the game. Whether it's a final drive of the game, just a rally in the last quarter. We've seen it a couple times this year already, and last year too. That's the one thing I think we can hang our hat on with Kenny, is he's a working man's man. He's an average Joe, but sometimes, gosh darn it, the average Joe gets one over, you know. I think you saw a little bit of the difference between Kenny Pickett and Trevor Lawrence in this game, and the pedigree and the skill at the quarterback position. Lawrence, despite the conditions, had a couple beautiful passes, beautiful touches on the throws. Kenny had a couple where he was just a couple feet short, couple feet off, somewhere he was miserably off. You know, the miss to Deontay. Deontay slipped a little bit in the end zone, but he was wide open for several seconds. It seemed like it should have been an easy pitch and catch for a touchdown. And exactly why you have Deontay Johnson on the field. He just not putting it together. whether that's on him, whether that's on the line, kind of making him a little bit scatterbrained, a little bit happy feet, either or, it's just still not all come together for a full 60 minutes for him yet. And, you know, I think as Steelers fans, B-Ry, we look back at that preseason where we all kind of got really hyped when they were just absolutely perfect. And we thought, now this is what a first-round pick quarterback should be doing for your team. Just cut. We don't expect them to be unstoppable, but that has not carried over into the regular season at all. And, B-Ry, I think we have to ask ourselves, this is what the second or third kind of significant injury. He got banged up once earlier this season, but he ended up playing the next game. He was knocked out for a little bit last year. Is injury concerns going to be a factor in Kenny Pickett's career here? What do you think?
I think as long as we have an offensive line, and I'm not going to just blame the O-line. Kenny sometimes, you know, runs into sacks and creates these issues for himself, but I think as long as we have an offensive line who does not excel in pass blocking, this is going to be a risk because Kenny is not a very big guy. He, I think he worked on some strength and things like that in the off season, but he's just not a big guy. And I think he's always going to be susceptible to taking some big hits like this and maybe missing games here and there, but he is tough. You got to give him credit. He's tough. He, looks like he's going to play this week, and I think he's capable of toughing it out and getting in the game sooner than some quarterbacks might not.
That injury did not look good at the end of the half. You know, a lot of weight. Again, I think that was a question for the officiating too, is there seemed to be a lot of body weight falling on Kenny, where the Steelers had a very similar hit on Lawrence earlier in the game, but really didn't look any worse, if not less worse. And the Steelers got flagged on it. No call there on the Jags. I think it was Gotsis landed on him. So it didn't look good, but then out of the half, he was on the sidelines. He had a helmet. He was throwing a ball. And you kind of get that feeling, you know. We saw this with Ben how many times throughout his career. Oh, he gets banged up. He's limping off. He's shaking his arms. His head's crooked, but he comes back and wills the team. And you're right, B-Ry. The recipe was there. I think the turning point to me was that Boswell field goal that got, and it's just sad to, you know, we look at a field goal and an offsides penalty, another questionable call, by the way. But it, to me, it's kind of seemed like that was a big turning point. We couldn't get those 3 points. And this team needs all the points it can get to be there at the end of the game. We really could have used those 3. And the Jags just managed to pull away. But, it's one of those things. I think we were all hoping he could tough it out and do the old Big Ben Superman come back into the game, will us to victory. Just didn't happen. And he's getting banged up quite a bit early on his career. He's not missing a ton of games for it, but something you got to look out for going forward. Just overall, just nothing really to note from Kenny. Just some missed opportunities. Again, nothing really downfield. A below average, I think, effort. I wouldn't say a horrid effort from him. Trubisky, on the other hand, he did have the touchdown, but also cost us any chance to win the game on top of that with his interception. So, yeah. Go ahead, Bira.
So, this might not be the most popular opinion, but I felt like the play calling was fine, maybe even good. I liked the way that we came out and started attacking down the middle of the field. We had a lot of nice slant plays. We couldn't get the running game going, but I liked our play design a little bit heading into this game. It was just a problem with execution. So I can't really throw Matt Cannon under the bus this game. It's really the players just kind of being off. Not on the same page, whether it's Pickett being a little bit off or Deontay falling down. I feel like he slipped on like 15 different plays.
He did.
Just not being on the same page, not executing, and I think that's been the biggest problem this game, and maybe even the last game. I do think there's been some improvements with play calling, So we're going to see if that continues, and then hopefully that puts our players in position and we start to execute on these plays.
Yeah, that's, you know, we saw some more slants, some crosses, like you said, and those are kind of things that were missing from the game plan entirely. We weren't completely relying on those timing patterns, the back shoulders, the comeback routes, things we've seen so much of. And yeah, I think execution, we had some plays, we left them on the table, we left touchdowns out there because we didn't execute, really. So hard to fault Matt Canada. I'm still not giving him a pass. I still don't want to see him back next year at this rate. Someone needs to be held accountable, and that's going to be probably at the end of the year. B-Rye, I predict that we're going to be sitting here talking about accountability and, you know, whether we are 9-8, you know, whatever, 7-10, God forbid we go under 500. I think at the end of the season, we're going to be sitting here having a very similar discussion. Who's going to be held accountable? Will anybody be held accountable? What are we doing with Kenny Pickett? Are we riding him another year? Do we have to figure this out? Is he the guy? I just think this is a team that's flawed, critically flawed. And yes, we could make some noise. We're probably going to win more games than a lot of people might have expected, but it's going to be a long stairway to 7 this year. It's when we look back at the end of the season, I have a feeling a lot of the same themes are still going to be out there from the early part in the year. But we'll see. There's a lot of time left, and we are 4-3. So let's not panic too much. We'll talk a little bit about our game coming up here in a few days, but let's finish the box score here. The run game, again, B-Rye, left a lot to be desired. Jaylen Warren paced the team, 5 carries for 19 yards. Mitch Trubisky, 3 carries for 18 yards. Maybe we need to put Mitch out there at running back.
Yeah.
Najee Harris, 7 carries for 13 yards, including just first quarter classic. Najee Harris spinning his tires early in the game, just not getting anything substantial to get this team really paced. Kenny had 1 rush for 10 yards, a nice little scramble he had there. Always good to see more of that from him. Calvin Austin added 2 carries for 10 yards. 1 jet sweep for Calvin Austin. I thought he had a lot of room to run. Then, what was it, that wingard for Jacksonville, who was just a pain in our ass all day, and shot him down at the line of scrimmage. And the Jaguars were not very nice to our fans, B-Rod. They stole some terrible towels. They were super disrespectful. That's the kind of thing that Joey Porter would have shot you for back in the day. I mean, they just made a mockery of us, quite frankly. It was not pretty, and I wouldn't mind seeing these guys again someday. Let's just say that. Overall thoughts on the ball carriers, B-Rye?
So the Jaguars really are a very tough defense to run against. So this doesn't surprise me. I felt like the offensive line had some good movement in the previous game. This game really wasn't much going on. So not a lot of room to work with, but Najee, I noticed he just really wasn't hitting the holes with any sense of urgency. There was a couple plays when I rewatched the game where he wasn't really seeing the blocks in front of him. So one thing I wanted to bring up that I don't think has been talked enough about Najee was after his rookie year, he had, I can't remember how many touches he had. He had a ton of touches that year, because that was the year when Ben just kept like throwing it to him constantly because the O-line was so bad that he had to get rid of the ball so quickly. But coming into year two, he decided to bulk up in order to handle a bigger workload. To me, that's kind of a warning sign with running backs. You want to be explosive. This isn't 1932. So I feel like Najee's kind of, he's added some muscle, extra weight. You know, to some that could be a good thing. Add muscle, you'll be stronger, whatnot. But really, I think it's kind of cut into his explosiveness. When you look at Le'Veon Bell, he was a guy drafted in the second round. He came in the league and actually cut weight, and he played beyond what people thought he would be in the NFL. So I think Najee's kind of just he's a little too heavy right now. He's not, you gotta be fast and shifty in today's game.
Yeah. And Lev was more of a cerebral runner. I mean, you would see him kind of take his time, dance behind the line, shoot the gap. Neither of them are home run hitters, really. Lev wasn't either. Lev was an exceptional receiver with a much better offense and quarterback at that point in his career too. But, you know, I think it's safe to say, in hindsight's 2020, it's safe to say that that first round pick was probably not a good idea. I think we were all excited because he seemed like a really good running back. It probably wasn't the best running back class, but you look around the league too, you see Jahmyr Gibbs tearing it up, first round running back. Bijan Robinson's off to a decent start of his career. It's not like teams are completely bypassing running backs in the first round, but you're also seeing guys undrafted, late round picks that are just fine too. We probably could have used somebody at another position at that point, but at the time, I would lie if I would say I wasn't excited about it too. He just seemed like a classic Steelers running back, a good kid. The rest of the team just, it wasn't like that was the final piece to really put them over the top. And
yeah,
with hindsight being 2020, I think we got to ask those questions. They've only had two games this year where the team as a total has rushed over 100 yards. Najee has yet to eclipse that mark this season, I do believe. So for a team that seems like they still kind of brand themselves as a running team and a team that probably needs to run the ball really well to really have a chance against some of these higher powered offenses, it's just not been put together yet this year. Still Warren, I want to see more from him. It just seems like every now and then he just gives a little bit more juice, whether it's a decent little run or a run after the catch. But he really wasn't heavily featured this game either. It was curious too, at the end of the game, Najee was in there for the final kind of garbage time series, cleaning up all those dump offs from Mitch. So that was interesting to see too. All right, so let's move on to our ball catchers, our wide receivers, as they're called. Deontay Johnson had a nice little game, but also left some meat on the bone, I would say. He had 8 catches for 85 yards on 14 targets. You can't say Kenny's not happy to see Deontay back in the fold, although there were some miscues, like you said, some slippy slips on that wet Heinz Field turf. Maybe wear some longer spikes or something, Deontay, next time, because the one in the end zone, he slipped, but it's probably a bad throw. Kenny probably could have got him earlier, and in the big play early in the game, which really could have changed the whole trajectory of the thing. Overall, though, Deontay doing Deontay things mostly. I can't be too upset at his season so far. I think he's pretty much done what we've expected him to. Najee had 5 catches, 42 yards. A lot of those were in garbage time on the final drive. I think he had 3 or 4 catches there at the very end. So nothing to write home there. Connor Hayward got in a mix, 5 catches for 24 yards. Let's pause here, B-Rye. I've heard a lot of talk this week about tight ends and just being historically. Obviously, Freiermuth is out, but we haven't seen a lot of Mount Washington at all. We saw Rodney Williams get a couple targets this game, but are you concerned at all about Darnell Washington? I think we were all very excited to get him, what was it, the 90th overall pick in the third round with a guy that some were talking about as maybe early second round pick. Perhaps we thought we got a steal there. What's the deal with him, B-Rai?
So very good question. I've been reading a little bit, and I think the issue is that he's just not really polished enough as a route runner and knowing what to do from a receiving perspective. I think he's still raw there. So you get into these games against the Jaguars where you literally can't get the ball going, get the run game going. So you need to pass a little bit. So I feel like they actually think Rodney Williams was a better option in the passing game. Is this a sign that he's not going to develop into a legit pass catcher in the NFL? It's really hard to say. He's got the makeup. He's a big guy. He can move for his size. I have not heard that he doesn't have good hands, but I think from a mental standpoint, he just isn't there yet in the NFL. And with tight ends, typically it does take time to develop more than most positions, because you're not just learning how to pass catch. You have to learn how to block as well. Just because he was a good blocker in college doesn't mean he fully understands the way it's done in the NFL with knowing your assignments and things like that. So we'll see moving forward.
Yeah, it sucks not having Freiermuth, because that the tight ends can be a quarterback, especially young quarterbacks, nice little security blanket. And Freiermuth was pretty reliable, but you got to wonder if his Steelers career will be up. This is what, his third season, so next year will be his last year on his rookie deal, right? Same with Najee will get the fifth year option. But you got to wonder
if
they'll have the option for the fifth year. Whether or not they take it's another thing. Freiermuth, just so many injuries. You got to wonder if he's going to have a relatively short career. He's battled a lot, concussions. Now the hamstring setback. So this season's already looking like a wash for him so far. But we definitely missed the production out of there. Hayward's fine. But he's a guy who probably shouldn't be getting five catches a game. But overall, Connor Hayward, hey, kudos to him. I think we all thought he was kind of a nepotism draft pick, but, you know, he's fine. He's fine at what he does, but not a guy you want featured in your offense by any means. George Pickens, quiet game. Seemed like he was frustrated. There was a lot of talk about him and the Jags cornerbacks heading into it. He only produced one catch. For 22 yards, it was a key catch. He had five targets. What was going on with George here, Brian?
I'm not quite sure. Rewatched the game. I just didn't see him a lot. It was...
He had the touchdown. It was a nice touchdown between two guys.
Great touchdown.
And jumped over him. You know, that was classic George. They kept calling him the alien, a classic alien-type play. we just want to see more of it more consistently. I just hope he doesn't boil over this year. We've seen it a couple times where his emotions have gotten the best of him. And I just fear if this offense kind of keeps sputtering and spiraling even, as the year goes on, that it doesn't boil over with him. Cause he seems like he's constantly riding that line between in control and out of control. And, we need him on the better side of that for sure. So, nice touchdown for Mitch, by the way. But a lot of that was George, too, after the catch, making two guys miss, hopping over him. And nice little touchdown from him. Calvin Austin, two catches, 19 yards. He also drew a big pass interference call, which is a great go-to play in our playbook to get us down the field. So he's been a weapon in that regard, even though he hasn't been used a lot outside of one of those early games earlier in the season. Jaylen Warren had four catches for 19 yards along of an 11 and five targets. A-Rob had a target, no catches, and our boy Rodney Williams gets no respect. Mirai, he had two targets, no catches, and I think he had a drop to add to that. Overall thoughts on the receivers tight end group here.
Yeah, back to Pickens. So very disappointing. Only five targets, one catch. Tomlin was very blunt during the press conference that they need to get him the ball more. So it just needs to be an emphasis. No matter what, just they need to find ways to target him more. He's our alpha dog, and he's a big-time playmaker. So need to see more of that. Deontay had a he made plays. It's very, very nice to have him back. He made a lot of good plays. Some of the plays that he didn't make kind of outweighed it, in my opinion, though. If he was able to, I know some of them were tough, would have been tough catches, but if he would have made some of those big plays, it would have been a much closer game. So moving forward, I expect him to rebound. You know, it was a very wet, weathery game, so that was an impact as well. So hopefully he rebounds. Need to get Pickens involved more. Agree with what you say about the tight ends. I mean, I just hope Muth can come back at some point this year and make a contribution, because Hayward, he's a nice kind of short-handed gadget kind of guy, but he doesn't stretch the field. He doesn't have a lot of speed. So I did like that we found ways to get Austin a little bit more involved. What do you have? 2 runs, 2 catches. I'd like to see him a little bit more because he does have a little bit of explosiveness. But outside of that, really just need to see more from this group.
Yeah, and Deontay putting up 8 catches, 88 yards. That's the kind of line you want to see from probably your second receiver in today's NFL. You want to see another guy probably doing more than that, certainly scoring more touchdowns. So, like I said, I think we've kind of got what we expected from Deontay. As his career has gone, you get some good, you get some bad. And that's kind of the way his career's gone. He does one good thing. He has one terrible drop or silly yard after the, you know, run after the catch decision from him. So again, he's probably where he needs to be behind George in terms of the pecking order. But yeah, to win games like this against one of the better teams in the conference, you need everyone firing on all cylinders, making plays. So let's move on to the defense, shall we? Cole Holcomb, I thought he had a decent little game. He was showing up here and there. He had 11 tackles, 7 solo. He also had a fumble recovery. Keon O'Neill had 7 tackles. Demonte KZ had 5 solo tackles. He also had an interception. Neal had the interception, right? Or was it KZ? It was KZ. Yeah, it was KZ here. The box score is incorrect. So KZ had the interception. Let's pause right here. Again, this just kind of encapsulates the rest of the game. We do one good thing good. Immediately after, we pin ourselves deep because of a silly decision to take the ball out of the end zone there when he could have easily just kneeled down and got us to the 20-yard line. And with this offense, every yard matters. And seldom is it a good idea to take the ball out of the end zone on an interception. He was more towards the middle of the end zone, not in the exact middle, probably like 3/4 of the way towards the middle, whatever you want to call that part of the end zone. He made a concerted effort to run closer to the sidelines, ran out of bounds on his own B-Rai. So you can't fault the guy for making a play, even though it was a terrible throw from Lawrence, more so than a great play from him. But the mental lapse there, you know, is something, like I said, when you have an offense that's fighting and clawing for every single yard, things like that make a big difference, don't they?
Yeah, he can make plays sometimes, but other times his awareness is just not there. I mean, I don't know what he was looking at. And there were some other plays this game where I felt like he showed up, did some positive things, and then on the other hand, he looked lost. So hopefully getting a little bit more communication with the group. I think after losing Minka, there was a lack of communication all across the secondary. So hopefully a few days working together, they get that ironed out heading into against the Titans.
Landon Roberts had 5 tackles, 4 solo. He added a sack and a half and a tackle for loss, 2 quarterback hits. A nice little game from Landon Roberts. Again, it seems like it's middle linebacker of the week sometimes. One of these guys kind of jumps off the box score, off the tape a little bit more than the others. Although Holcomb, I think all 3 of them had a decent little game here. All 3 of them. Quan, I think, had the fumble, forced fumble, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a great forced fumble. Yeah. And then, like you said, Holcomb recovered it. So, like we've been talking, I feel like every week we're just talking about these 3 making plays. If you could combine them into 2 people, we would, I think, be talking about them being like a Pro Bowler. But you know, you got 3 of them splitting time, making plays. You have to be really happy with how they're performing here. They just, in the pass game, I think they're doing okay. And then just in the run game, just, you know, forcing fumbles, recovering each other's fumbles, and some tackle for losses. You got Roberts who does have a couple sacks this season. So it's a nice contribution from the group.
Yeah. Like you said, if we could combine them all like some sort of Frankenstein, perhaps it is Halloween. It would be nice. You put all their athletic traits together And yeah, you'd probably have all-pro caliber middle linebacker. So Joey Porter Jr., I thought, did a decent job. The ETN touchdown, I think, was a little bit over his head, but I think that was more of the safety's fault on that one. He did a pretty good job covering Calvin Ridley. He had a couple nice tackles, too, so that was good to see after he had some bad tackling in the weeks prior. It seems like he's been officially awarded the starting cornerback job, so that's good to see. Hopefully we see him stapled into the starting lineup for the next several years at this rate. Overall, nothing too concerning from him. He was on Evan Engram a couple times, who was more of a receiver than a tight end, honestly. So nothing too much to complain about from Joey Porter here. Larry O had 5 total tackles, 3 solo. Highsmith had half a sack. He had 4 tackles, 3 solo. Montrevious Adams showed up a couple times. He had a tackle for a loss, 4 tackles, 2 solo. Miles Killebrew added 3 tackles, including 1 for a loss. Marcus Golden had 3 solo tackles. Patrick Peterson, 2 solo. Quan had 2 solo, including that big forced fumble, which was a nice play. Minka went out early. Obviously, he's always at the top of our tackle list here. He had 2 solo before he went out. TJ, he had half a sack, one batted down pass early on in the game. I think it was the first quarter. Obviously here, B-Rai, you look at TJ, you look at Highsmith, they had half a sack each, but probably not the huge contributions we need from them that we've come to expect, quite honestly.
Yeah.
That we sometimes, I think, need to win these games, right?
Yeah, I agree. And got to give Trevor some props for getting rid of the ball so quickly. So I think that helped negate the pass rush a little bit. But you'd like to see them get to him a little bit quicker, I guess. There was some pressure, but just I think that's how Trevor plays. He just really has that internal clock in his head where you got a guy like Trubisky or Pickett who might hold on to the ball a little bit too long. I think Trevor knows just when to get rid of it.
Isaiah Loudermilk had 2 tackles, 1 solo. Nick Herbig, same, 2 tackles, 1 solo, and one of those tackles, solo tackle, was a tackle for loss. So good to see Nick continue to get more involved, get some more statistics under his belt, some playing time under his belt. We're probably going to need him. Like we keep talking about, we'll need to see more from him in case an injury happens to one of our starters, which probably inevitable. Shannon Sullivan, 2 tackles. Armon Watts, 2 tackles. He also added half a sack and 2 quarterback hits. He showed up a couple times, old Armon Watts.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson had a solo tackle. It must have been on special teams. Miles Boykin did as well. So A-Rob getting some special teams looks. Rodney Williams, same thing. He had a tackle. James Pierre, DeMarvin Leal, each out of the tackle. And our long snapper, Christian Coutts, had an assisted tackle. And Keanu Benton, 1 assist. What are your thoughts here, B-Rai, on the secondary? You know, I don't think they got torched too bad in this game. But overall thoughts on Joey Porter Jr. and Patrick Peterson and the gang here.
One other thing I did want to point out with Herbig, he did have that forced fumble too.
Oh,
so
right.
We had 2 forced fumbles. Herbig, I think that's 2 weeks in a row where he made some good plays. Last week he had that really quick sack where he got to the quarterback right away. And then with Benton, he's a guy that he doesn't show up on the stat sheet very often, but when you watch closely, he's collapsing the pocket, he's getting those pressures, forcing the quarterback to get rid of the ball quickly. So I thought he showed up again. As far as the secondary goes, I think Pierre had a decent game. He did pretty good. I didn't see a ton of Pat Pete. I don't know. Did you notice any issues with him this game?
No,
didn't really show up much.
No, like I said, I think it was a fairly quiet day. For the secondary, I don't think anyone got picked on too bad. You know, the big play to ETN, which was kind of the backbreaker, I think was kind of a combined miss from the safety, and I think it was just over Joey Porter's head. I thought Porter might bat that pass down, even though it was a nice lofted pass. You could see his length there. Man, I thought he might have a chance at tipping that ball before it got to him, but he had no help over the top there, and ETN just burned us, which he's done to a lot of teams recently. So still, B-Rye, I mean, 20 points against a team like this gives you a chance to win, but you need to put up points yourself to match that. And usually that's at least three touchdowns. So you can't expect the defense to score a touchdown every week. They gave you the turnovers. The offense just really, just a comedy, I don't want to say comedy of errors, just a series of unfortunate events with the injuries and never really getting in rhythm.
They did a good job against Kirk, I will say that. And I do recall hearing that Peterson was on him a lot. So props to him if that is the case, because he kind of held him in check. Ingram's big game was kind of just, you know, a lot of, well, he did have a 34-yard catch, but I think a lot of that was just him running across the field, finding holes in our zone. So I can't really attribute that to any one specific person.
Yeah, yeah, and like I said, the real backbreaker was that ETN catch when the game was still within reach. We really needed to stop there, and that long touchdown, 56-yarder, I believe it was really the backbreaker. Special teams here, B-Rye. Boswell obviously missed the field goal. It would have been his career long. He was 1 for 2, should have been 2 for 2, but the silly offsides, what was it? The guard lining up in the neutral zone, lining up over center. What was the call on that one? B-Rye, it was kind of nonsense, wasn't it?
Yeah. They're saying he was past the neutral zone, but, who was it against? Was it Samalu? I think he said that.
I think so.
He's been lining up like that for like his entire career, like every single game. He lines exactly like that for his 7-year career, and it's just, and Tomlin came out and said he's never seen anything like it in his 17 years of coaching. So I did hear that this crew was the same crew that was with the Steelers in training camp. They're like basically rookies, a rookie crew, and you can tell there's certain things they just don't understand how to call here. So I'm not blaming them for the reason the Steelers lost, but it was a bit of a factor in what could have been a close game.
Yeah, yeah. You hate to blame the officials. You should never really count on the officials to sway the game one way or the other. And you hate to see these ticky-tacky calls like we talked about earlier. The roughing the passer calls, I think, were a little bit inconsistent. And then that ticky-tacky penalty on the field goal. You just hate to see penalties be called like that that really have no bearing at all on the play. I'm not even sure Siamalu moved when that ball was snapped. Like he was just going through the motions. You know, it just happened to be how he lined up. So you don't like to see it, but again, you can't hang your hat on the officials at the end of the day. You got to make your own bed and lay in it. So that ruined Boswell's perfect season. He did hit the field goal on the penalty, but the extra yardage in conditions like that didn't help. McManus, on the other hand, was perfect, 4 for 4 in a day. We really could have used the miss from him. Presley Harvin had a couple shanks, B-Rye, and this goes back to what we talked about last week or the week before, earlier in the season, you know. Yeah, when the conditions are perfect, when you're in the domes, when you're on the turf, when the sun's shining, he's had good games. But when you get this slop at this time of year at home, that's where the mistakes rear their ugly head and the inconsistencies can really kill you. What do you think about Presley here? He had 6 punts, 42.8 average. So not terrible on tape, but he had at least one bad shank that was just at a not a good time, right?
Yeah, you called it last week. I was giving props, mentioning how maybe he's becoming the punter we were hoping he was when we drafted him. And you know, you don't usually draft punters, you usually sign them as undrafted guys. So they had a lot of faith in him. He's had a pretty good year, and then to your point, this was a sloppy game, and he didn't. We could have really used the field position in this one, but he didn't come through.
Yeah, that's my fear when you get towards later in the year, which we're here now. This is the time of year where the weather can be unpredictable, and you still have games, obviously, in Pittsburgh, and you get this, you know, this time of year, you don't get much snow. It's just more like, it's more like mix, wintry mixes and wind. It's so windy nowadays. Never used to be this windy when we were kids. It's just a lot of wind and shit weather out there nowadays. And you still got games in Cincy. You got games in Baltimore, Cleveland. That's where the weather can really be a factor. And you'd like to see Presley push through that and change the field if you can. And just keep the ball, you know, I think one of them was like a 25 yard, 24 some yard punt when it was all said and done. And with a team like this, like we said earlier, every yard matters to this defense. So you can't have mistakes like that. Everything needs to add up for the Steelers at the end of the day to get a victory with the current personnel that we have. So we're 4-3. The Jags moved to 6-2. And we start off this three-game homestand with a loss, B-Rye. So we have a short week. We're recording here on Halloween. It's Tuesday evening. The Steelers turn right around and stay at home for Thursday. But we have some injuries to deal with, don't we, B-Rye?
Yeah, we sure do. And today they actually had a walkthrough. Kenny has that rib injury, no structural damage. He did some light throwing today's, and he said he is playing for sure. So that definitely makes the Thursday game more interesting. Hopefully he can play without any issues and try to build something here. Mink is out, so we haven't really heard how long. If I had to guess, you know, 1, 2, 3 weeks, just a guess for now. So we'll hopefully hear more at the end of the week. Might see a little bit more playing time from safety Elijah Riley from what I've been hearing. Need that depth. KZ, he had a little bit of an injury. I think it was a wrist. He practiced in full today. Cam practiced in full, so I think there is a chance he might return this week, but too early to tell. Same with McFarlane. He practiced in full. We'll see if he gets activated off the PUP list. And then Levi Wallace, he was inactive with a foot last week, so this week he's still questionable. He's limited right now, so he is getting in a little bit of work, but we did get the big news that JPJ passed him up on the depth chart. So that's definitely something to look forward to. I think JPJ's earned that chance, and it definitely makes our defense tougher to play against.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say is JPJ kind of has his dad's attitude, and that's something I think can go a long way for this team, is having that kind of pizzazz, that kind of moxie on the defense. Obviously, you have your big playmakers with Watt, but I'm anxious to see what Joey can do in his career here. He certainly seems to have all the tools, and he's made a lot of plays early on in his limited playing time, so it's probably good news that we're putting him into a more prominent role, and Levi will kind of be relegated to more depth duty. Obviously, losing Minka is huge here. You know, I don't think he's been Mr. Consistent. He hasn't really had the huge splash plays I think we've come to expect from him early in his Steelers tenure. But they certainly have some key pieces missing. I wouldn't be surprised if Cam comes back for the next game against the Packers with that extra rest here might do them well. So they open his practice window, right? So they have 21 days to activate him off the IR. So it was a trade deadline today in the NFL. We saw a couple moves. We saw the Seahawks yesterday pick up Leonard Williams from the Giants. We saw the Red Hogs move, or the Commanders move, Montez Sweat to Chicago, and Chase Young, who I've always been curious if the Steelers would make a play for someone like Chase Young. But he went to San Francisco for really not all that much. Rumors had it that the Steelers might have been in the market for Jalen Johnson, who seemed to kind of hit the market yesterday, was exploring trade possibilities with his agent, would have been a nice addition to the secondary, younger guy. I do think he is a free agent, though, at the end of this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe. Yeah, I think, and when you get a young guy like that, who we'd basically have to give him a big contract, so he would have been kind of a rental. I wanted to get him really bad, but when you talk rental guys, I don't think the Steelers are probably willing to give up what it would have cost to get him.
Yeah, he would have kind of fit in that mold. You know, we talked about Patrick Surtain last week. It would have been nice to add someone like that because I still think our secondary is one of our weaknesses. I'm not sure if it would have been enough to, you know, push us over the top, maybe earn us another win or two if we could really improve that secondary. But, you know, it might have also allowed Patrick Peterson to move positions rather than be relied on as a shutdown outside corner. You know, maybe you could have put him in a more versatile type position there, a support role in the secondary. So it didn't happen. We didn't make any moves, really. One thing I did want to touch on here, B-Rai, is the absolutely crazy fines that Jaylen Warren has been issued this year. And did you see the play, the block, the run block that he got fined $48,000 for? Not this game, but the previous game. Absolutely ridiculous. He's accumulated so many fines this year for really just playing tough, and what I'm guessing is for leading with his helmet on some of these pass block pickups. It's absolutely crazy. Check that out if you have time. He's not a guy who's making a ton of money, and he's accumulated like $100,000+ or close to it in fines this year with just playing tough, playing hard nosed football. So they're really cracking down on that. It's just ticky tacky stuff. So that brings us to, on a short week, the Tennessee Titans, or the Tits, as some like to call them. I don't know if some of their fans call them the Tits. So we go from the Jags to the Tits here. And I think we were all kind of secretly hoping that they might trade Derrick Henry so we could avoid him. And unfortunately, he stays put. And all of a sudden, they have a rookie phenom quarterback we have to deal with. He tossed 4 touchdown passes in his first game and reactivated their top wide receiver with 3 touchdowns, DeAndre Hopkins. So, B-Rai, I'll throw it over to you here in a minute, but I think the story here is Derrick Henry and can we stop him? And I think that will dictate the pace of the game. ETN kind of got us good. He put up a lot of yards, explosive plays. And Henry, while he may not quite be the Henry he was in the past, I still think he can do a lot of damage and do a lot of damage in these conditions. So what are we looking at here with the Titans, B-Rai, and who do we need to watch out for?
Yeah, obviously with Henry, I think you kind of have to sell out to stop him. If he gets going, it's going to be a long day. So it'd be great timing to get Hayward back if he's ready. If not, we really do have to just kind of focus on him. And I think with a rookie quarterback, you kind of got to put the pressure on him at the same time. So play downhill, keep everything in front of you, and dare the rookie to make plays. If he can make plays and do what he did last week, I think we're in for some trouble, but historically we've done pretty well against rookie quarterbacks. So I like our chances, but if Levis shows up, it's going to be tough.
So I didn't see any statistics on Levis' time to release, you know, from the snap to the ball getting out. And I think that is key. I watched a couple of his touchdown passes to Hopkins, and they did take a little bit long to develop those plays. So maybe that's the window we can get to him. It's hard to say. Is this a flash in a pan, 1 week thing? Yeah. He hasn't put it together 2 weeks in a row. Short week coming into Pittsburgh. There's a lot working against the Titans here. You said Kenny's rib is just a little tender. Is that the case? No structural, just a little tender rib? Is that it?
I think so.
Is that one rib? Do we know which rib it is? It's you don't want your ribs to be tender. Do you want your ribs to have a little bite, a little firmness to them, don't you?
Yeah, saucy too.
I don't know how saucy his ribs are, B-Rye. But obviously something we got to watch out for. I don't know how much it'll impact him. I know he's probably going to be sore. It looked like that hit was nasty. And maybe one of those things that you can juice him up for the game, but I'm sure it hurts a lot worse today than it did on Sunday. So again, Kenny's tough. He likes to tough it out. You know, he's no wussy, so to speak, back there. He'll play if he can. Missing Minka is huge. So, you know, we kind of went over the Titans defense. They're just kind of mid, I guess. Mid maybe to upper mid is maybe the best way to describe. Nothing splashy. You know, you got your Danico Autrys, your Harold Landrys, but really nothing too crazy we have to keep an eye on like we do, you know, with our Max Crosbys and Miles Garretts we've had to deal with all. See, Josh Allen was a game record sort of against us in the Jags. So nothing too, you know, just a committee approach for them, it seems like. They don't create a ton of turnovers by the looks of it, but is there anyone on the defensive side of the ball we do have to look out for? They got rid of Byard, obviously, so you don't have to worry about him.
Honestly, I'm not too familiar with their defense. Based on the stats I looked at, it aligns with what you said about them kind of being middle of the pack. I think this is a game where we can take some deep shots, get Pickens involved a lot, Warren out of the backfield, Deontay moving the chains, got to sustain those drives, and keep the defense fresh because it could be a long day against Henry, so we're going to need them to kind of hold their end.
Yeah, and if we can lock down Hopkins, I mean, you're looking at Westbrook Ikhine, you're looking at the tight end Okonkwo, both have had pretty quiet seasons. We have to watch out for Spears too. They kind of have a two-headed running back attack. So those are guys we'll have to keep out for. If we can shut down Hopkins, though, I do like our chances. But, man, that brings me to the question, B, right? Are you taking the Steelers in this one or what?
So it's definitely the offense has been pretty ugly for the Steelers. But the three games that they did lose were against what I would say good teams. You had Houston. You have Houston actually has a losing record, but I would consider them to be a pretty good team. They lost to the 49ers when the Niners were really playing good at the early part of the year, and then they lost to the Jags, who I think are a good team. So they go against the Titans, who I don't think have shown that they are a good team. They did some things last week, but I think this is going to be not as hard of a test as the Jaguars game was. So I'm going to pick the Steelers. I think it's going to be a close one. Tomlin's 2-0 versus Vrabel. Both of those games have been within 6 points. So it's going to be that kind of game again. It's going to be a tough one. I think Tomlin and Vrabel are good coaches who are able to each win those type of games. So I'm going to go with the Steelers on a with the home field advantage. So it's going to be a real low scoring, tough game. The Steelers are going to pull it out at the end.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are 3-point favorites. I'm going to take the Titans in this one by a score of 16-11. That's right. I just think they're going to have a tough time controlling Derrick Henry. They've had a real difficult time stopping a run, and he's a guy who can take the game over. I picked against them on our pick show with Len and the Don, Eric D. Smith, and I have to stick to my guns here. Until this offense can show something early and put together at least three quarters worth of solid, consistent football, it's going to be really hard for me to pick the Steelers, quite honestly. And we need a win in the worst way, because this, like we said, it's a three-game homestand. We need at least two victories. We got the Packers coming in after a long rest in the next game, and I think that's a very winnable game too, especially with our D-line going up against their O-line.
I would love to see us get a victory, but I am going to take Tennessee in this one in a little bit of an RJ action. That's kind of what I've been relying on recently. But again, this offense, man, you need more in today's NFL. Now, that being said, I think the Titans are just decidedly average at best, pretty much across the board. You mentioned earlier we were chatting, B-Rye, about Vrabel and Tomlin. What's the backstory there? Does Tomlin have Vrabel's number or what?
2-0 versus Vrabel. Not a long history, but with what I was able to find, they're both within 6-point games, so very small sample size. So, but we'll see. I don't think you can really build much off of that.
So the Steelers lead the all-time series 48-32. That includes the old Houston Oilers, which I believe they used to be in the same division back in the day. We would have
AFC Central,
yeah,
wasn't it?
I think
Jaguars are in that too.
Yeah, it was one of those weird divisions back in the day. We might have to call on your brother Danny to give us a little history lesson there of the Houston Oilers. Obviously, your Warren Moons, your Earl Campbell's going way back, you know, they always had something going for them there. So the Steelers have the all-time record. The Steelers have not lost to Tennessee since 2013. So that's an interesting stat. They've actually won 7 out of the last 9 games going back to 2009. They played quite a bit in that time span, it seems like. Yeah, so I don't know, B-Rye. I could see this going either way. I could see us maybe ending Will Levy's outburst quickly, you know? I could see that, or I could see them really protecting them and just letting Henry kind of control the game. But I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to say Titans 16, Steelers 11, however you want to get there. Safety, a couple field goals, touchdown, missed extra point, missed 2-point conversion. That just seems like the Steelers have to put it together. So that's that. Any final thoughts, B-Rye? What's your favorite Halloween candy? What are you snacking on tonight? You stole from your kid.
Some various types of chocolate candy bars. You got your Reese's, you got your Kit Kats. Those are always a hit. As far as the game goes, I'm glad it's a Thursday game. You know, after a loss like that, you just gotta get back on the saddle again and try to get out a win and get that long rest. So hopefully we get that this week.
You gotta wash that candy corn taste out of your mouth, right? And yeah. Let's just hope that with a quick turnaround like this, we can kind of take a little mini bye. Right, because we don't have to come back for another 10 days after that. Feel a little bit better about ourselves. Give Kenny time to rest up. Hopefully Minka, Cam Hayward, I would expect him to be back after that little mini bye there with a Thursday night game. You know, a lot of non-Steelers fans are looking at this game and saying, typical Thursday night trash game. You know, Amazon Prime, we'll be tuning in. We'll be sticking around after to hear 2 Chainz in the musical presentation, I'm sure. It's just one. It's going to be a slobber knocker, really. These are 2 teams that just aren't pretty by any means, but we don't know what we're up against. It's kind of an unknown entity. Is Will Levy's 4-touchdown-a-game slinger, or is he a one-week flash in the pan, hyped up one game adrenaline type thing? It's going to be an interesting test for him, and it'll be anxious to see what comes out the other end. So, well, B-Rye, I think we have to, after this little bye week we have here for the stairway, get Danny Boy on the call. I've been hearing rumblings. He's been wanting to get on. So you and I need to touch base with him after this and see if he wants to either join us. He can join us via Teams. He can come out here face-to-face with me, whatever he wants to do. But I would love to hear his thoughts on Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr and all the old Green Bay Packers as we get ready to welcome them into Pittsburgh for the next game on Sunday, November 12th.
And then we have a little AFC North stint after that with the Ohio teams, the Browns and the Bengals. So we need to get this homestand finished here with a couple wins, hopefully against two very winnable teams. And that would take us to what we'd be at. We'd be 6-4, right? If we can pull off those two wins. So six and three, if we can get these next two wins. So split 2-2, home and home right now. And let's hope we can bounce back with a win against the Tits. So for Bad News B-Rye, this is your host, Mr. Just Right. This is A Stairway. Sorry about that really loud butt rock. We'll see you back here in week 10. Thanks, B-Rye. We'll see you, man.
Yep.
Here we go, Steelers.